came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our thoughts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every day we get a great gift. There are 86,400 seconds in every day. But not all of those seconds are equal. There are 24 hours in a day, but not all of those hours are as important as other hours. If you live in this country and you're an average person, and most of us are, you can expect to live 28,543 days in your life. But some of those days will loom larger in your memory. They'll be more meaningful to you. Something will have happened that will stand out above the other 28,542. What I'm trying to say simply is that there are some moments in life, some seasons, some days in which something happens that we never forget. I was counseling a woman in my first church. She had just gone through a painful divorce. She was sitting in my office and we were talking. And it was, I remember this clearly, the week after Valentine's Day. And this is a day that's pretty painful for people who haven't been visited by Cupid for a while. Or it's pretty painful for people who are not happy where Cupid chose to shoot his arrows sometime. And here's this woman. And I remember at some point in our discussion, she just breathed a heavy sigh and said, "You know, I remember the day of my first kiss. I remember when that awkward, cute little 14-year-old boy leaned over and put his lips on mine. And I remember thinking at that very moment, you know, my world will never be the same." And I was right. Look at this. Here I am. Be careful who you kiss. Now, that woman didn't see that first kiss as an awkward initiation into the things of romance. She only knew at that moment in her life that it was something momentous. Something happened. She discovered something. You could almost say her eyes were opened, even though she didn't know her eyes were closed. But here's a whole new area of life. I want to suggest to you that the scripture that Dave just read, these seven verses in Mark's gospel, are very important. Now, Mark has 678 verses in his gospel, but these seven rise above many of the other verses in importance. And it's not because these seven are so special, but it's because in context, these seven verses form the concluding bookend of a section that begins earlier. And in a moment, I want to talk about that, why these seven verses are so special. Now, if I were able to summon Bartimaeus, and he could stand up here this morning, there'd be no doubt that he would tell you, yeah, these are the most important verses in Mark's gospel. I can see. Bartimaeus is that guy, the women were singing that first verse of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Bartimaeus is the guy who would have been standing in church saying, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, could see, but now I'm blind." Hey, buddy, you're singing that wrong. No, I'm not. See, you don't pick that up from the New International Version. But in verse 51, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What would you like me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus in the NIV says, "I would like to see. But your humble pastor would like to suggest to you that that's not a completely accurate translation. Because if you read in the Greek, the word for see is blepo. And the word here is anablepo. And ana is a prefix that means again. Bartimaeus actually says to Jesus, "I want to see again." Somehow, at some point in his life, he could see. Now he's blind. And Bartimaeus would tell you that this is a momentous moment. How long has Bartimaeus been blind? We have no clue. Could have been days, could have been months, could have been years. Myself, I think Bartimaeus was blind for years because he knew how to beg for a living. And he also knew this, that the best place to be on this particular day was on the road that passed by Jericho. Jericho's 15 miles from Jerusalem. And there were three Jewish festivals that all males and other family members almost felt required to attend. The Passover was the height of those. And there were going to be hundreds of thousands of people streaming by this main route to Jerusalem tomorrow. So you can bet that Bartimaeus went to bed the night before what we read here with a smile on his face, thinking to himself, "I am going to be most prosperously blessed tomorrow." And it's funny because he had absolutely no idea how prosperously he was going to be blessed on this day. He would receive more than he could even imagine. You know, Sigmund Freud one time said in his book, Civilization and Its Discontents, he said this about Christianity. "The whole thing is so patently infantile, so foreign to reality, that it's painful to think that the vast majority of mortals will never rise above this view of life." That was his opinion of Christianity. And to be fair, not just his, but the opinion of a good many other people in this world today. "The whole thing is so patently infantile, so foreign to reality, that it's a painful thing to think that the vast majority of mortals will never rise above that view of life." Well, while that is Dr. Freud's opinion, I would suggest to you that if we could silence the sanctuary this morning, we could just be quiet, we could close our eyes, if we could listen, we just might hear Bartimaeus echoing down through the centuries. And if we could hear him clearly, we might hear him saying, "Thanks be to God that I never rose above this view of life, or I never would have gotten my sight." Bartimaeus comes to Jesus and he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And in a moment, in the twinkling of his eyes, he could see. So Bartimaeus is going to tell you these are the seven most important verses in Mark's gospel. Mark would say, "Yes, they are important, but I mean them for more." And I will tell you what I mean. I want to hope to show you what I mean. If you have your Bible, I want you to open it to Mark's gospel. If you don't, grab one in front of your pews. Mark chapter 8. I said before that these seven verses we've read this morning form the concluding bookend of something that begins earlier in Mark's gospel, and it begins in Mark chapter 8. I want somebody to stand up and read for me Mark 8, 22 through 26. Whoever has it, just stand up and read. Mark 8, 22 to 26. Go ahead, Adam. Thank you. So that is the beginning of this section. Mark starts at the end of chapter 8 here in verse 22 with a story, an interesting story, by the way, of Jesus with some effort and intention healing a blind man. And then he ends that section in 10, starting with verse 46, where again he heals a blind man. And in between, for about 2.5 chapters, Jesus talks not about physical blindness, which we have here and here, but all in between there, Jesus is dealing with spiritual blindness. And you get this right after verse 26. Jesus says to the disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem, I'll be arrested, I'll be beaten, mocked, crucified." Crystal clear, right? How can you miss it? And Peter, the rock, takes Jesus aside, put his hands on his shoulders and says, "Lord, never." Now you go into chapter 9 in Mark's gospel, and Jesus says, "The Son of Man will be handed into the hands of the people." And here's what Mark says. It's a wonderful little aside. Mark says the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. You know, we're back in seventh grade. What did that teacher say? I don't know, why don't you ask? They were afraid to ask. And then, even up until we get to 10:46 to 52 here, we talked about this last week. Here Jesus is saying this is all going to happen again. And James and John say, that's really, oh, wow, terrible. Hey, could we sit on your right and left? Spiritual blindness. What Jesus is saying is there are some things worse than being physically blind. And one of those things could be being spiritually blind. All through his faithful followers, the disciples do not understand who he is or what he is about. That this is Jesus, Son of God, God incarnate, Son of David. But it's Bartimaeus, whom we meet for the first time here in these seven verses, son of Timaeus, who says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And by saying Son of David, he was using the Jewish term for the coming Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on him. And he's given his eyesight. Mark ties it all together here. Helen Keller was one time asked, "Can you think of anything worse than being blind?" And Helen Keller said, "Oh yeah, being able to see but having no vision." This is the disciples. And here Mark presents Jesus in that section that starts at 8:22 and ends in 10:52. He presents Jesus. This is Jesus, Son of God. Do you see him? Do you see him? Now, a lot of people in the world today have seen Jesus. I don't know what the numbers are. I just know that in the day and age in which we live, it's a rare individual who's never heard the name Jesus, or even maybe the story about Jesus. Everybody, it seems, knows about Jesus, especially in our country, but not everyone recognizes Jesus as Son of David as he passes by on the road. Last week I told you that story about Robert Redford who gets into an elevator in Los Angeles. Well, let me tell you about Cary Grant this week. Cary Grant was walking down the street one day when, passing him on the sidewalk, a fellow looked at him, and when their eyes locked together, this fellow just stopped. This happened to Cary Grant a lot, as you might imagine, a fairly distinctive-looking fellow. And that guy stopped him and said, "Excuse me, sir, hang on a second. I know you. I know you. You're Rock Hudson. No, no, you're Richard Burton. No, no." And Cary Grant thought he would help him out, and he said, "Cary Grant." And the guy said, "No, no, no, you're that's not right." Now here's Cary Grant, and he's testifying to himself, "This is who I am," and "No, no, that's not who you are." Isn't it interesting in John's Gospel, the first chapter of John's Gospel, John says that Jesus came into this world, but the world did not recognize him. That's what John says in the first chapter of his Gospel. And so Jesus makes it clear here. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People see Jesus today. Ask somebody about Jesus. You'll get all manner of opinions. He was a great revolutionary. He came to overturn the present order and to stamp out injustice and oppression. Jesus was a great teacher. Regardless of what else we can say, that we can certainly say Jesus was a great moral teacher. His teaching lives on to this day. He was a great example. If we could just pattern our lives after him. Jesus was a great mystic. He gathered together these disciples and they followed this esoteric mystery religion. But that's not who Jesus says he is. I am the light of the world. And he came to give sight to the blind, those who could not physically see, those who could not spiritually see. Barbara Brown Taylor, is one of the top preachers in the world today. Unfortunately, she's no longer in a church, but she's teaching religion in a college. She wrote this book 5 years ago. And in this book, she describes what it was like to grow up in Kansas. Just reading about it almost makes you want to move to the Midwest. She talks about how her family owned the farm and there were fields all around. And she used to go out in the middle of the summer and lie down in the field and look up at the clouds and the sun. And she said, my companions were the tree frogs and the grasshoppers. And she had her favorite places. And I want to read you this paragraph about one of those places. She said, I would go and visit the small crystal stream that runs through the field to see what was moving in it today. And I met there salamanders, tadpoles, crayfish, and water bugs. And I watched the moss on the bottom ripple as the water would run over it. And years later, when I would go back to my farm, I discovered that this crystal stream that I loved to visit during my childhood, this crystal stream was actually a drainage ditch. And here's what she says. The difference between the two descriptions of that same place mess with my sense of reality. Is the divine presence in the world, or is it in my eye? Is the divine presence in the world, or is it in my eye? And the question, is Jesus active, alive, and present in this world? Is Jesus who he says he is? Or is Jesus just in the eye of the beholder? Mark casts a vote. He said, this is Jesus, Son of David, Son of God. And he asks us to cry out too, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, when we pray to you this morning, we can literally say, only you know what moved Bartimaeus to make his confession of faith at this moment. Only you know how you moved in and through Bartimaeus' heart to get him to that place. But our prayer is simple this morning. Move again. Move again in our heart and in the hearts of those we love and in the hearts of those nobody loves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Confession of faith, we would more than welcome it. We would celebrate it with you. Let's stand together. I'll be in the front and we'll sing My Faith Looks Up to Thee.